The Murthy law firm has been clarifying US immigration laws and procedures for foreign nationals since 1994. We are happy to offer this free service. Please listen to copyright information and restrictions at the end of this recording.
Welcome to the Murthy Law Firm podcast. My name is Kevin Andrews. I'm joined today with Maggie Wagner, and we're talking about the STEM OPT training plan on the Form 983. So we have a new administration. We have the Trump administration, which we expect to overall generally have a higher enforcement and site visits and that kind of thing. And we think that'll also reach the STEM OPT work authorization program. So Maggie, if you could give us a background here, what is the I-983 training plan?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Hello, everyone. So the I-983 training plan is a form that has to be completed in order for a student to receive a STEM OPT extension. And it's sent to their DSO. Employers are required by the Department of Homeland Security to actually complete this together with the student. And the form I-983 contains, it basically has the description of the training with specific goals and benchmarks that the student will hit. And then also the manner of supervision and mentorship that that student will receive. Really wanting to ensure that there is a employer-employee relationship there. So the form I-983 also contains specific compliance attestations, and that's going to be signed by the employer and the employee. And then, as I said before, submitted to the DSO. And then once that is submitted to the DSO, the DSO will review it, and then they'll recommend the 24-month extension in CVIS, and they'll hopefully issue the form I-20, which can be used when you're applying for the STEM OPT extension with USCIS.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, the training plan, having a description of the training and the goals and benchmarks and how they're supervised and mentored, you know, that's a lot of stuff to sit down and think about. And, you know, I imagine that it's been somewhat relaxed maybe in the market for the last 4 years, and mm-hmm. maybe that's not a good idea moving forward. The employer, both employer and employee have, you know, obligations here, and they're attesting to some things when they sign off on the training plan. Maggie, can you go through, like, what are the liabilities and attestations they are signing off by participating in STEM OPT?
Yeah, so the employer basically is attesting to the fact that they have sufficient resources and trained personnel that are available to actually provide appropriate training in connection with that specified job opportunity. And what that means is, what you say on the training plan, you have the resources available to, you know, actually complete that training. And the student they're also attesting to the fact that the student on the STEM OPT extension is not going to replace a full or part-time, temporary, or permanent U.S. worker. And then they're attesting to the fact that the opportunity actually helps the student attain his or her training objectives. So, you know, you're attesting to the fact that this is actually a training program. And finally, the DSO is going to keep the I-983 for 3 years. So, you know, note that the STEM extension is only for 2 years, but the DSO is going to keep that on file for 3 years. And they'll make it available to either USCIS or ICE upon request. So this is why that portion of what I just said there is why it's so important to really understand the requirements of the I-983 training plan, because as Kevin, you mentioned, we haven't seen so many site visits checking up on this form in the past. But, you know, given the administration change and the fact that they seem to be very interested in, you know, immigration compliance, it's probably a good idea to ensure that you have all of your ducks in a row in case, you know, ICE does come requesting that I-983 training plan.
Yeah, you know, the STEM OPT program, the way it's designed, is a little weird. It's a little counterintuitive because you get your initial OPT, which is way more flexible. There's no training plan required. You can even do volunteer work, and unpaid work. That's as long as it's directly related to the field of study. But then when you get the STEM OPT extension, is where all this extra confirmation that it's really a training that you're getting. I mean, I don't think we really even perceive the OPT as like training. It's work authorization. But it's kind of like the STEM OPT like takes a step back and like, we'll make sure this is really related to the degree that you got years ago at that point.
Right.
But along those lines, Maggie, I guess, what do site visits look like? So maybe to give people an idea of
Right.
what to expect if that does start to uptick.
Yeah, so USCIS reserves the right to conduct site visits to ensure compliance, which, as I said, this current administration is very interested in doing. And regular scheduled site visits actually require a 48-hour notice. However, USCIS does reserve the right to conduct a surprise visit if it obtains information of a possible violation. So if they're tipped off that there might be a possible violation happening in a specific workplace, they retain the right to do a surprise site visit. And in the event of a site visit, it's important to ensure that all requirements, including the reporting requirements that surround the I-983 training plan, are met. So we've kind of talked about what the training plan does, but there are also reporting requirements that come along with it as well.
So reporting requirements, like you got to constantly send updates to DSO or something like that, you mean?
So it's not constantly. I mean, there are specific time frames and that you do need to update your DSO. But yes, there are several reporting requirements that need to be complied with. And this is actually in addition to the reporting requirements of F1 students in general. So, if you're on OPT or STEM OPT, no matter which training program that you're in, you do need to update your DSO to confirm, your biographical, your residential, and employment information every 6 months. So these requirements are in addition to those requirements for students in F1. They're specific to the I-983 training plan when an F1 student is working pursuant to STEM OPT work authorization. So the first sort of reporting requirement that is necessary is that the student has to complete self-evaluations, and they'll do this together with their employer. This is basically the student has to provide progress of how the practical training is going to the DSO, and they'll do this once within the first 12 months of their STEM OPT employment and their training program. And so again, it has to be within the first 12 months that you submit this first self-evaluation. And then you'll also do it at the conclusion of the STEM OPT employment, which many times is at the end of the second year. And it's important to remember that the final evaluations have to be completed within 10 days following the expiration of that reporting period. So let's say your reporting period ends on the day that your EAD expires. You only have 10 days to complete that training program and send it to your DSO. 10 days is not a super long time to get that done in, so it's important to be aware of these reporting requirements up front. And a good practice tip for completing these self-evaluations is to have a student actually keep a journal of the training and progress, because it's kind of hard to think back over the years of how you've been following the training plan specifically. So it's just a good practice tip there. But those are not the only reporting requirements that you have to follow when you're in STEM OPT or you're working pursuant to STEM OPT. If the student or employer changes employment status. So, if the student is terminated if the student changes to a different visa status, if the student changes employers, a final self-evaluation should also be returned to the DSO within 10 days of that termination of employment. And then furthermore, the student and employer have to report any material changes in the student's formal training program. They have to report that to the DSO within 10 days as well of that material change using the Form I-983. And then material changes, just it can include things like, different wage levels, reduction in hours, new work sites, and things like that. So you will need to submit a new I-983 training plan to the DSO within 10 days of that material change. And I believe that's kind of an overview of all of the reporting requirements for the I-983. But it's important to kind of look at the website yourself to really get familiar with all of these reporting requirements because there are a lot of different time frames that go into it. So it would be helpful to, read what USCIS and ICE have put out about the form itself.
Wow, that's a lot.
It
So,
is.
yeah, it sounds like a very high maintenance type of work authorization for all parties involved. So, like we said at the beginning, I think this is a timely topic because we are anticipating increased site visits and compliance checks all across the board, every level of immigration, including, F1, H1, all the work authorized options. So, I guess the lesson here is that the students and employers need to get more familiar with the stuff that we've talked about here about reporting requirements and all of the obligations, all the stuff that you're attesting to. Just to recap, like making sure the students' hours, the pay, the work location are complying with the requirements. So, just I guess basically dotting all I's and crossing all T's because it probably is a higher stakes issue now as we enter the new Trump administration. So for Maggie, I'm Kevin Andrews, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is a free service. The content is the protected, copyrighted property of the Murthy Law Firm. Unauthorized recording or dissemination of these materials without prior permission is prohibited by law. Learn about our firm, how to engage our services, and more at www.murthy.com.